What do you like to do on a Sunday afternoon?
Have tea with your friends.
I
like to have a roast.
You like to have a roast? So do I. I'm having a roast later on. Some people on a Sunday afternoon like to go for a walk. 2 weeks ago today, I took that photograph on a Sunday afternoon on a walk that I was on. We had just met, I'd really just made friends with this group of people that I'd met. We were on holiday and we were walking down a hillside, as you can see, towards a lake. Now, the thing is, that isn't any ordinary hillside and that isn't any ordinary lake, because that is the hillside where for hundreds and hundreds of years Christians have believed that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. And it's known as the Mount of the Beatitudes. That isn't any ordinary lake that you can see there, because that is the Sea of Galilee. And earlier in the day, have you been?
No.
Okay. Earlier in the day, we had been on a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. There is a big church at the top that marks the spot. There are churches everywhere. But this is conceivably, and certainly there are many, many hills around Galilee that they all look the same, they all look like this. This is conceivably the hill on which Jesus sat with his disciples, and we're going to read from it in a moment, and preached the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is part of that sermon that Jesus preached on that hillside overlooking that lake. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" Good question. "Why are you worried about clothes? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And we're going to pray that God will bless his word to us. "Expect me not to worry. Please be reasonable, Jesus. Please be reasonable. You are saying don't worry. You're saying the pagans worry about their food and their money and their clothing. And you're telling me not to worry. Lord, I confess that so very often I'm a pagan, because I do worry." And Jesus says, "Don't worry." And as you go through the scripture, he's not the only one saying this. As you go through the scripture, I discover that there are over 50 other verses that specifically tell us not to worry about things. How about that? Paul's at it. "Do not be anxious about anything." Really, Paul? You really expect me to live up to that? Peter's at it. "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Give all your worries to God, easier said than done. The psalmist is at it. "They have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." I am afraid of getting bad news. Somebody walks in the room and says, "I've got good news or bad news for you." I kind of instantly freeze. Okay, I'm happy with the good news, but what's the bad news? So we get this again and again and again, and there are over 50 other verses that teach believers in God exactly the same thing. How on earth are we supposed to live up to this teaching when it is easier said than done? So let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount particularly, and let's look at the things that Jesus tells us particularly not to worry about. Okay? he tells us not to worry about life. Now, I was with a friend yesterday with whom I was at Bible college, and we were sitting having a drink in his garden. He lives in Clevedon, and suddenly he said, "Do you know what, Andy, I'm going to be 58 this year." And I thought, "I'm going to be 57. And I suddenly felt every day of those 57 years, and so did my friend. I don't want to be 57. I've got to be honest with you in a few weeks' time. And some of you are a little bit older than me. And maybe you don't want to be the age you are. And you're a little bit worried about life, and we worry about health, and we worry about death. And Jesus says, don't worry about your life, sitting there on the hillside. Food. Worry about food. Don't worry about what you will eat. I think I should worry more about what I eat. Certainly my mother worries about what I eat. We went to a McDonald's in Israel. It was in Armageddon. We called it the restaurant at the end of the universe. That's another story. We went to the McDonald's. We should worry about what we eat. We're being continually told to worry about what we eat. We've been continually told that we're all costing the NHS lots and lots of money because of the rise in diabetes and so on. Jesus says, don't worry about clothes. I know people who worry about clothes. Now, that's one thing I don't have a problem with, because I don't believe in following fashion. I believe in leading it. That's the easy way to do it. So I get out of that. Don't worry about tomorrow. I have to drive back to Milton Keynes tonight. I have to go to work tomorrow. I worry. And why? Shouldn't we worry about these things? For the pagans run after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus says to those who claim to be his disciples, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about tomorrow. Pagans are actually things. And yet I still maintain that it's easier said than done. Is it ever okay to worry? Well, maybe Jesus gives us a slight little bit of permission in verse 34. In verse 34, he says, each day has enough troubles of its own. Maybe that's permission to worry a little bit about today, but not to worry about tomorrow. I love the Message version of that verse. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. This is practical teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ to those of us who claim to be his disciples. You will know the old song, "One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. It's all I'm asking of you." It may sound a bit cliched in this day and age, but it's absolutely true. Because what Jesus is saying is this: there is nothing you can do about tomorrow. And James backs him up on this. There is nothing you can do about tomorrow. Live for me today. Let's take care of today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. My best friend in Milton Keynes has had some problems in her life. Her dad died when she was 17. Her mum had already passed away when she was 15. She's had a hard life. Her philosophy is this: if nothing bad has happened today, if I get into bed at the end of the day and nothing bad's happened, then it's been a good day. So don't worry. Take one day at a time. But it's still easier said than done. Until you remember that Jesus' words, "Do not worry," are preceded by the word "therefore." And "therefore" is preceded by verse 24. Verse 24 says, as we've already noticed, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Here's the secret to not worrying as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are serving God and not money, you have no need to worry. If you're serving money, you've got every reason to worry. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if God is first in your life, if God is number one, if you're truly serving God, you won't worry about these things. You'll know that you've got a God who will take care of you. What is God like? God is love. The God who loves you so much he sent his son to die on a cross for you, John 3:16, which we learned earlier, loves you. And he's not going to leave you on your own. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to let you go clotheless or hungry. He's not going to fail to meet your needs. God is love. God is creative. So even if you can't see a way out of your problems now, God can. God can. We have a God who is love. We have a God who is creative. We have a God who is generous. We have a God who longs to bless us. And sometimes difficult things happen, and sometimes the problems arise and the sickness arise and the unemployment arise. But God is generous. We have a God who is awake. Do you know God never sleeps? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year, God is looking at you. His eye is on you. He never sleeps. We have a God who is awake. We have a God who is behind us, pushing us on. We have a God who is with us, walking alongside of us. And we have a God who is in front of us, clearing the way for us. This is what God is like. We have a God who is called in the Old Testament Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. What Jesus is saying is this: if you are serving this God, therefore do not worry. If you are following this God, do not worry. If this God is your God, therefore do not worry. That's the link between verse 24 and verse 25. What are you serving? If you're serving money, you are going to be worried all the time. If you're serving this God, then you have no need to worry, because serving the Lord is its own reward. Serving the Lord is its own reward. This was my baptismal text just a few years ago when I was 16, and you know how old I am now. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Supply. They're coming down the line, folks. And maybe what you need tomorrow is coming down the line today. Some years ago, my brother, who's a World War I historian, took Mum and Dad and I to the battlefields of the Somme. And he pointed out that when you stand in those trenches, there are tunnels leading back to the towns back in France. And they were the supply lines. Those were the lines down which the food came, down which the ammunition came, down which the guns came, down which the boots came. They were the supply lines. And sometimes it took a very long time to get from A to B. And sometimes they'd run out of bullets or they'd run out of food because the supply line was taking its time to getting there. What you need for tomorrow may not be with you today, but it will arrive tomorrow, because my God is continually supplying all your needs. So trust him. Trust him. The supply line is up and running. And people are praying for you, and people are praying for me. And in answer to those prayers, God is running things down the supply line so that the troops have the supplies that we need. So, with this in mind, let's put the spotlight back on the second half of what Jesus is saying, the bit that starts with the therefore, and let's put it in context of what he has said about serving God. Jesus says, we'll put the spotlight on this, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Why? Because you're serving God. And God is more concerned about your life than he is about the sparrows, and yet he feeds the sparrows. Don't worry about your life because you're serving God. Jesus says, do not worry about clothes, do not worry about your physical needs, do not worry about what we shall eat or drink. Why? Because you're serving God. See the link here. So very often these divisions in our Bible are not helpful. Jesus says the pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If you're serving God today, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. And this is how the Sermon on the Mount slots together in this great passage of the Lord Jesus. Last year I was preaching in a series of sermons in a church in London, and unlike lovely Loham, they give you subjects. And they rang me up and they said, look, we're doing a series on the parables of the Lord Jesus. You're coming to preach next Sunday. We'd like you to preach on the parable of the pearl of great price. Now, you know the story. You know how a merchant comes along and he sees a pearl in a field, and that pearl is so valuable, so precious, it's the greatest treasure in the world. He goes off, he sells all that he has so that he can buy the field and obtain the pearl. Now, when I was growing up, I was always taught that you should interpret that parable like this, okay? Jesus is the pearl, and we're the merchant, okay? So we should give up everything we have to obtain Jesus. And that's wonderful. That's perfectly true teaching. But you know, in recent years, I've come to understand that parable in a totally different way. I've come to understand it like this: that Jesus is the merchant and we are the pearl. There is so much in Scripture about how much he loves me. There is so much in Scripture about how much he values me. And of course, there is the central gospel message that Jesus came from heaven, giving up all that he had to buy me back for God, to redeem me back for God with his precious blood. Can I tell you this? You're the pearl. that great? You're the pearl. And Jesus gave up everything he had to buy you with his precious blood. Because you're that precious and you're that beautiful and you're that wonderful. I said to somebody the other day, Jesus wants your company in heaven for all eternity. How about that? Sometimes we can't wait to get out of church because we, you know, we don't want each other's company or we'll get away from a family reunion at Christmas. Jesus says, no, 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 it's not like that. I want your company in heaven for all eternity. You're the pearl. And I'm going to give up everything I have. I'm going to redeem you with my precious blood. Are you going to be bought with the precious blood of Christ? What a price he paid to redeem us. And when we follow him, when we serve him, when we love him, when we acknowledge all he's done for us, he's the pearl and we are the price. So I acknowledge, trust, I really do, and I stand here as a preacher, but I acknowledge worrying is easier said than done. And I sat on that hill 2 weeks ago, round about this very time, and we looked down over the lake and those words were read to us and I thought, boy, I don't have to worry about a lot of things. And Lord, you're telling me not to worry. It's easier said than done. But listen, if the Lord is our friend, our master, our employer, if he's our provider, then trust him. Trust him. He invites you to trust him because he says it's going to be okay. Just go steady, one step at a time. Be our response to Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. So all I'm asking from you, just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way. One day at a time. And all the people said, amen. Let's pray together. Father God, this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ on face value is so difficult. And maybe if we had been sat on that hill that day, we would have interrupted and we would have said, Lord, there is so much to worry about. And the Lord Jesus would have said, if you're serving God, what kind of God are you serving? Trust him. We pray that as we read these words, our faith and trust in you may increase. And we may acknowledge that you call us to live for you one day at a time. You give us the strength for today. And what we need for tomorrow is coming down the supply line, but it hasn't arrived yet because tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. Teach us to trust you. Thank you that you value us so much. Thank you that you love us so much. That you shed your precious blood to redeem us, to buy us back for God. We are bought with the precious blood of Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would respond to such love by loving you, living for you, and serving you in return. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.